awesome God. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Our awesome God. And as Kevin read for you the verses that Moses in his last speech to the people of Israel, he's 120 years old, and yet he was still vigorous, and he was able to say to them, and as you see at the bottom, "For the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God." And God is in our midst right now. What we're going to talk about is a lesson titled Israel's Encounter with God at Sinai. And this was the topic at the Bangor Lectures about a month ago. And Vance Trefetheren gave this lesson. I listened to it and I said, I got to do that. Now, if you know Vance, he's a coach for debating, and he can, in 5 minutes, what it takes me in 20 minutes to deliver. So this is only going to be the tip of the iceberg of the lesson that Vance gave. And I recommend you go listen to it on the Bangor web. It's the BangorChurchOfChrist.com, and you can listen to Vance's lesson and his marvelous voice and his way of speaking and his mind and his understanding of scriptures. We're going to look at Israel meeting the awesome God for the first time at Sinai. We're going to see what preparations were required to meet the awesome God, and then how it will result in worshiping the awesome God. And for the context, I was going to spend the time reading to you chapter 19. And I think it's worth it. So be patient with me. I'll read slowly. But we're going to read chapter 19 of Exodus. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Just a comment here. This means 3 months after they left. In the third month. So it's been 2 months. On the third new moon. 2 months since they've left. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai and encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. And another thing to pay attention to is in this scripture and in scriptures to follow, you're going to see Moses going up and down, up and down, up and down. I didn't realize that till Vance pointed that out. There Israel camped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." It goes on. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and said before them all these words that the Lord commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told these words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of the people, and you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up to the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man. He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. And they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder. There were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests come near to the Lord, concentrate themselves. Okay, let me read this right. And also let the people who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. And then chapter 20 begins, and God spoke all these words, saying, and then in Exodus 20 we have the Ten Commandments being said by God to them. This expression, awesome God, appears five times. The words together, awesome God, appears five times in the ESV translation. And I've listed them there. I'm not going to read them all to you. What does awesome mean? I'm guilty. I use it. But what we want to look at this morning is, what does it mean here when it's being used and written down by Moses? Not by what I might use it as, is, oh, that's awesome. Think about this. Well, let's do some dictionary work. We see the word awe, awesome, awful. The definition of awe, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's an emotion variously combining dread, veneration, and wonder, that is inspired by authority or by sacred or sublime. Can't help you there. Archaic. That's where we want to go. Dread. Terror. The power to inspire dread. Archaic. Moses wrote that down about 3,500 years ago. Is that old enough for you? I know people say I'm older than dirt, but I'm not that old. How about the definition of awesome? You have some awe. Well, one definition is inspiring awe. We know awe is archaic, wise, it's dread, okay? Informal, terrific, extraordinary. That's probably the way we use the word today. It's expression, but then it's expressive of awe, okay? How about the definition of awful? Awful. It's awful. We usually think of being extremely disagreeable or objectionable. Informally, though, it means exceedingly great. Just the opposite. It's full of awe. Filled with awe. Deeply respectful or reverential. Obsolete. Here we are. Go back 3,500 years. Afraid. Terrified. So I conclude from this, the bottom line, is that being in the presence of an awesome God is terrifying. Terrifying. Have you really ever been terrified? I thought about this, and I have to say, I don't think so. I don't think I have experienced terror in my life. I've been afraid, gotten scared, but it passes. I'm talking about being in the presence of God, that kind of terror. And I thought of just a few examples to kind of get your mind here. Think about the people who are living in the Ukraine right now. Living under the conditions of being attacked. You think they're just sitting around a table enjoying a meal together? No, I think they're living under constant terror. Okay. Remember the children at the Sandy Hook School in 2012? When a shooter went in there and just terrified them. And we are aware of the fact that the grandson of David Posey, and nobody here knows who David Posey is, but we do because we worshiped at Folsom, California, and that's where David Posey's been preaching for years there. So this is the preacher's grandson who was there. He's probably 8 years old, and he had to live through that experience. How about today? People who get close to or involved with these mass shootings that are going on. I think they're terrified. I think this is getting close to the terror that these people felt. And I'm sure there's many other things that you can come up with to try to elicit what does that mean to be that terror. When you hear expressions, their knees were knocking. My knees have never knocked. Okay, so I've never been that. You're paralyzed with fear. You can't think, you can't. Your brain is just overloaded. So that's what I'm trying to talk about here. Well, Israel saw and heard the awesome God at Sinai. They'd never experienced that before in their lives. After the Ten Commandments is given, chapter 20 reads, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people were afraid and trembled. They stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die.'" That experience, being at the base of the mountain of Mount Sinai, thunder, lightning, noises, smoke, the voice of God. You know what they said? "I don't want to experience this again. Moses, you take care of it for us. You go up there. You talk to God. And then bring the message to us and we'll do it." Okay? So that's what it's like to be in the presence of an awesome God. In chapter 34 of Exodus, he said, "Beholding, I'm making a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as has not been created in all the earth or in all nations, any nation, and all the people among whom you are, shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and all these things. So this thing that, you know, this is kind of another thing that that doesn't necessarily bring terror, but he's going to see what this awesome God, they're going to witness what this awesome God can do to these great nations, these powerful people in these walled cities that they will take over. Isaiah tells us the awesome God is holy. Remember, Isaiah has an encounter with God. And what does he say? He has this vision. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7 of Isaiah 6. And one, I have to tell you what he's talking about here. Seraphim. I think if you just saw a seraphim, you'd be pretty terrified. You know, these are these six-winged creatures that are with God, surround the throne. They called to another and said, one of the seraphim called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah thought it was over. There was noise, trembling, there was shaking, and he knew he was in the presence of God. And the fact that the word holy, holy, holy is said is you can't get any more holy than three holies in a row. What Israel saw and heard at Sinai was indeed awesome. And the Hebrew writer tells us this, makes a reference back to that experience. And he says to them, the Christians now, that the letter's being written to, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. For even a beast, if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned." Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." An awesome God. Terrifying. Vance used a different illustration, but he tried to put us in that moment. So I have a picture up here of Fenway Park. Maybe a few of you have been there. And this shows the park, the stadium filled up with people. And I don't know the number, but let's pick a number. 60,000 people. Is that close, Dave? No. 40,000. Oh, just let's go round it up to 50,000. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to put a few more seats out there. Okay, here you are. Okay, but this is 3,500 years ago. You're now a million people. That's just a touch. It's only 50,000. So you've got to go up 20 times. You're at the base of a mountain, but now you're sitting at this stadium. Okay. I'm just trying to paint a picture here. And all of a sudden you hear this mighty Hammond organ Whoa, what's that? And then this voice comes out over this PA system and says, welcome to Fenway Park, the home of the Red Sox. Think about that. You've never been and experienced a booming voice, this instrument that plays this loud noise. And that's probably minuscule compared to what Israel was experiencing at the base of this mountain that was shaking, and there was smoke, and there was lightning, and there was a trumpet blast, and then this voice. This is their first encounter with the awesome God. And their response was, we want to experience that ever again. Moses, you take care of all that for us. We'll listen to you. Okay, that's the picture of an awesome God. Well, here's a picture. This is a picture taken by the James Webb Telescope. It's a new telescope that's out in space. It's about 1,000,000 miles away from the Earth. The moon is only 250,000 miles away from the Earth. So it's like 4 times further away from the Earth. And the reason is, it wants to look out at the universe and see as far as it can. It's a big telescope. It's the biggest telescope we've ever made. And it's looking out there. And this is one of the first pictures that it took. And you see dots of light. And they, you know, look like stars, right? But guess what? Those are not stars. Those are galaxies. And you know how many stars are in a galaxy? About 100 billion. So, this is a lot of starlight. And it's looking 5 billion light years away. Light coming from stars that it would take that long for the light to reach the telescope. Well, the little shepherd boy, David, was out in the field a lot when he was young, herding sheep. And he didn't have any light pollution like we have today. And so he could look up and see lots of stars. And if you've ever had that experience, the sky is covered with stars. It's like a cloud of stars. In fact, we talk about the Milky Way, because you see this shawl or whatever you want to call it of stars. Okay, so David sees that, and what does he say? When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. That's what looking at the stars said to David. And so my question to you is, who do you think that we are? You know, we think we're important. We are a speck in God's universe. David looked what he could see. He couldn't see this far. And he was impressed. But how could you even think about us, God? And now we can see even further, and we know there are just billions and billions and billions of stars out there. So who do we think we are? We need to have deep respect, awe for the God, our Creator. And we can't make up our own rules. We can't change God's rules. How dare us change the marriage rules? How dare us make evil good and good evil? But that's what we're doing. And we're just this speck in all of God's creation. Well, God told them how to prepare to meet him. He hadn't yet come. He said, I'm coming in 3 days. On the third day, I want you to come. I'm going to talk to you. And so, they had to make some special preparations. They just didn't show up like they're going to a ball game. T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops. No. God's holiness, remember Isaiah, it requires careful preparation before meeting Him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. I'm repeating some verses in Exodus 19. "Behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said, "Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Consecrate. What's that mean? It means to make sacred. It means to make holy. The people were told to prepare themselves to meet God. I want you to notice that in the presence of God, you will worship Him. We don't have to worship God today. We have the choice. We can make choices. "I'm not going to worship God. I'm not coming. I'm not going to assemble. I'm not going to have anything to do with God. I'm not going to believe in Jesus." We can do that. But there's going to be a day, and you're going to see the verses that tell us this. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first. You know, he broke the first ones, because it broke the commandment right from the get-go. When he came down from the mountain with the laws, they were worshiping a golden calf. So he smashed them, and I think he ground them up and made them drink of it. But I can't remember. That was the gold. They didn't smash the tablets. They didn't have to eat the tablets. They had to eat the golden calf. And he rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him, and took his two tablets of stone, and the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and prayed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So you have, this is the second occasion that Moses goes up there, and apparently the presence of God is shown to him. And I don't remember if this is where the verses are. They talk about Moses. God says, "You can't look at me, but you can see my back." Or maybe Moses, "I want to see you." And so what he does is he puts him in the cleft of a rock, puts his hand over him, and he walks by, and then Moses gets to see his backside. So that's what's going on here. But during that encounter, Moses is immediately going to worship God. And I think this is a better scripture to let you know that everybody's going to worship God. When you're in the presence of God, you will worship Him. And this is when we have demons involved. In Mark chapter 5, you have Jesus and His apostles going over the other side of the sea to the country of the Gerasenes. So from where they start, they go across the small lake of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had strength to subdue him, night and day among the tombs and on the mountains. He was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he, this man, saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him and worshipped him. Now, that's what the King James says. He just fell down before him in the ESV that we're looking at here. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. So he recognizes Jesus. The demons recognize Jesus, and they run and fall down before him. And of course, this is the instance where there's actually a legion of demons possessing this man, gives him amazing strength. They can't shackle or chain him. And this is the one where they say, don't send us back into torment. You know, put us into those pigs. And of course, the pigs ran down and all died. So they ended up going back to where they didn't want to go. And so that's this story. But I just wanted to show this verse to show that even demons will bow down and worship God. And then this is the verse that we were all looking for in Romans 14. Romans 14 is a chapter where we need to, you know, certainly get along with each other and get to know each other better so that we understand where we're all coming from and our practices in our life. And in Romans 14, verses 10 through 12, let's read that. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee is going to bow. You might sit here today and say, I'm not going to worship. But you're going to worship when you encounter God on Judgment Day. And each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Keep that in mind. Moving on. How about today? Are you trembling? We're in the presence of God right now. I don't see any knees shaking. I don't see any fear on everyone's face. I think we're all joyful and encouraging one another, and we're just glad to be here, to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And why is that? Well, we don't have to be terrified today in the presence of our awesome God, because we do have Jesus. Moses said in Exodus 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So we live this side of the cross, and we now know Jesus is who Moses was talking about. He's in our presence right now. How do I know that? Because in Revelation chapter 1, when we've got John being taken up to heaven, having a vision, he says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstand, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. and the hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like flames of fire, his feet like burnished bronze, refined from furnace, and the voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand, and the 7 gold tents, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. So Jesus is walking amidst the lampstands, the churches. We are a church. We are an assembly of God's people. And Jesus is here with us. And we're not trembling. We don't have to, because Jesus came from heaven and lived as a man. We saw him. We can read about him. And we saw his character, compassionate, merciful. We don't have to fear him. And what does he say today to us? He invites us to join him. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my soul is easy and my burden is light." The awesome God sent Jesus. And Jesus says, "Come. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart." That's our King. That's God. If you're not a Christian, now's the time to make that decision. You're going to have to give an account of yourself before God on Judgment Day. He's going to hold you accountable for your life. And Jesus came to give you life, life abundantly. So if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, now's the time to do it. If you want to do it right now, talk to some of us afterwards. We will make arrangements for you to be washed in the baptism and have your sins washed away. And you can become a new creature. You can become a Christian. And then you can live a life pleasing to God as you begin that new walk. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, or you want to just ask for prayers for any particular reason, it's another opportunity. Let us know. We aren't mind readers. We will have to be told. But you have that opportunity now as we're going to stand and sing the song of invitation.